Welcome to Planet Marzipan Podcast,
your fish and Marillion podcast,
where we talk about all things in the planet of Marillion and fish. I'm Meza, and here's my mate,
Craig Houston.
Hello, and welcome to Planet Marzipan Podcast. It's another Chart in the Single episode. So I'm here, I'm Meza, and I'm here with Craig Houston.
Hello.
And we've got some guests back again. We have Stephanie Bradley from Marillion.
Hello.
And Michael Barton from Liverpool.
Oh, Michael Barton, hello.
Yeah, yes. Sunday name.
So this is our series of shorter podcasts where we chronologically look at the Marillion singles. And this time we're going to talk about He Knows You Know. He Knows You Know has a Wikipedia entry. He Knows You Know is a song by the British neo-prog band Marillion. It's their second single, with charting the single as the B-side. It was released from their first album, Script for Jested Tear, and peaked at number 35 in the UK singles chart. The song's theme is drug abuse and alludes particularly to intravenous drug use. In concert, the lead vocalist Fish would often introduce it as the drug song and state that it was inspired by drug use while he was working at the Benefits Centre in Aylesbury. So this was released on the 31st of January 1983.
Yes, it's actually preceded the album.
Yeah.
So they actually had two singles out before the album.
And it is a two-track single. He Knows You Know on the A side and charting the single on the B side. So we've already talked in the Market Square Heroes episode about how you guys first heard about Marillion. So, Mike, you bought the first single. Did you buy this on day of release?
No, I bought them later on. It was my friend bought them because he had the record player.
Right.
So he was buying everything as they came out. This one took a bit of time to get. I wasn't getting this. It was all the drug references weren't making any sense to me either at that point. I was 15. So it took...
But where were you, Mike?
Well, I was in Liverpool, but it still doesn't, you know... I was naive, but
Sorry to any Liverpoolian listeners.
Yeah, it wasn't making much sense to me, this one. It really wasn't.
Right. Okay. And I mean, I got it because I'm a bit of a collector anyway. I really like the first EP, so I got this. I pre-ordered this actually from Track that I mentioned in the last podcast.
You didn't have to work for this one, did you not?
Pardon?
You didn't have to work for this one.
I had to buy this one. I had to pay money for this one.
He works hard for the money.
But what I did get...
hard for it, honey.
I haven't got to hand right now is I got a vinyl sticker with the logo, just the logo on. I got about three of those free with my copy of it.
Have you still got them?
Somewhere, but not that to hand right now. I think I stuck one on one of my record boxes, but I kept two nice, so...
Did they not stick one on a toilet wall somewhere at a gig venue?
Not at that point, no. But yeah, it's a slightly different direction to the first EP, isn't it?
It is, I think. But musically wise, I think it's more of a listenable song as well. I really like. I mean, this of the three singles from the album, even Marcus Spear, who wasn't on the album, this is the one that I prefer.
Right.
Okay. And I love charting the single as well. That's the big side. But it's a bit of an odd single because it's got like the album version as an A side, then the 7-inch version as the B side, as well as charting the single on the 12-inch. It's whereas normally they'll put more different versions of a song.
Yeah, neither version on the single is as long as the album version. Even the 12-inch version is.
Yeah, because it's a 12-inch edit.
Yeah, it's a 12-inch edited version on the 12-inch. It's very strange.
But didn't that, to cast remains in the future, isn't Easter like that, where it's not the album version as a 7-inch
version? Which version of Easter are you referring to?
There's only a few, so...
It's an early version. It's about version 35, Mike. You know, it's an early version we're talking about. Not number 428, which came out in 2020, Yeah, it's a first track from the album, so we got to hear. This was our first chance to hear what Script was likely to sound like. Produced by Nick Tauber. I think there's a lot of love for the B-side, isn't there? China, the single is still a really popular track.
Love it. Yeah, it's great. You know, my favorite version of charting the single is the live version that they did on the Fugazi tour, which is on the Fugazi special edition, the deluxe one, because there's a Rothery solo on it, which is absolutely amazing, which doesn't appear in any other version of the live version there. So if anybody wants to check that out, it's brilliant.
Do you think the rather unique time signature of charting the single is the start of Mick Pointer's demise?
Couldn't possibly comment.
Nobody's answering me there, so I'll just leave that hanging in the air, that question. Yeah, I'm not sure it is in any particular time signature, but I'm not a drummer, so I'm not qualified to say that.
You're just pointing it out.
I'm throwing it out there into podcast world. Make of it what you will.
Well, so you said a while ago something about like lots of banging and clattering.
No, you said it sounded like he dropped something on the kit. That wasn't me.
No, it was a job in kitchen instruments.
No. It's got a really, really good striking cover, though, hasn't it?
I love the cover.
And the complete opposite of Market Square Heroes, because it's bright colours.
Yeah, it is. And the progression of Mark's artwork is just... This is where you start seeing the changing coming in, obviously. We've only had Marcus Square Heroes. But as you say, it's bright, it's there, but there's no denying. You see that cover, you know exactly what it is.
You see, it's still got the detail on the saliva, on the teeth, and the manic eyes, and the way that the mask is sort of ripped from the face. It's great. It's really good.
I could just imagine all the 7 and 8 year olds going around the HMV at the time with the mum and the dealer want to buy singles and see that one. And they'd be traumatized. Yeah, know your audience.
There's some questionable lyrics on Charting the Single, though, isn't there, really?
Well, it's got the lyrics on the back of the sleeve, hasn't it, that one?
Yeah, it has, yeah.
So what were you going to say there, Stephanie?
No, I was going to say, there's a lot to be said for the logo as well. You know, the logo striking.
Yeah.
You know, we all love doodling over our exercise books and...
Satchels.
And, you know, you either did it really well or you did it really bad in my case. But, you know, you always had a go at it because it was something that was different, so...
Has that font got a name?
What, the Marillion logo?
We'll have to throw that out to the podcast.
Yeah, Mark Kennedy will know.
Yeah, Mark will know, yeah. I think it has, but I'm not sure what it is. It's a good follow-up, and it was a good trailer for the album, I think. I probably don't enjoy it as much as Market Square Heroes. I don't think he knows, you know, he's a strong enough song for a single.
Well, considering what they had to play with, really. And now, at number 7, Forgotten
it's
Sons.
It's kind of catchy, though. It's a catchy hook line.
Yeah, and I suppose if you look at what's on script, it's the only thing you could pull off.
Yeah.
As a single.
I mean, the video is very clever for it and, you know, disturbing.
You re-watched that recently, didn't you?
Yeah, I've gone through all the videos there and, you know, you remember it quite vividly even back in the day. You know, Fish, I think Fish gave the idea for the video because it was when the song was based on, like, drug use and when he was working at the DSS kind of thing. And, you know, you've got that office imagery and the man having a breakdown and all the different, you know, everything from the padded cell and all the cracks appearing in the walls and things like that. It's, you know, again, it's not something for your 7 or 8 year olds.
No, not really one for Saturday morning kids telly, was it?
He has Mark Kelly's daughter as a baby with lots of drugs around her.
Yeah, Fred Kelly appears in it, doesn't she?
Yeah.
He does, yeah.
And how did it fare in the charts, Craig?
It peaked on its first week of release at number 35. I think it stayed in the chart for 4 weeks and then dropped out.
If you compare that to the performance of Market Square Heroes, that's really good. That's a huge improvement, isn't it?
Yeah, but it went in and dropped like a stone a couple of weeks later, though, which is something that we're going to find.
There's going to be a bit of a theme going on.
But it was released on 7-inch and 12-inch, and it's one of the only releases back in the day that doesn't have a picture disc at all.
There was a campaign at one point to try and get AMI to release a picture. This was later on, I think probably post-Misplaced. There was a campaign to try and get AMI to put out a picture disc. it might be a nice Record Store Day release. Just
oh.
In,
yeah.
Well, they did The Web, didn't they, a while back?
Yeah.
Which was the EP, the video EP.
It was Grendel.
It was Grendel, but it was the cover from the Web EP video from back in the day, the songs that they didn't put onto the recital of the script.
Anything else you want to say about this?
No, but obviously at the time I was completely ignoring it, but it's it's one of my favourite tracks off of the album, so.
Okay, so we have a review of He Knows You Know from Kerrang, which found on Marco's Marillion Museum Facebook page, so great for that. Fish and his chums were only 10 years old when Genesis enjoyed their first breakthrough. Now, I'm going to stop here. That's exactly the same for me, which is what we're talking about on Market Square Heroes. I was 10 when that came out, so they're saying here that Fish and his chums were only 10 years old when Genesis enjoyed their first breakthrough. I mean, they're probably a bit older than that, but, you know, for comedy value.
Yeah.
And it must be a peculiar experience for Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins to hear these new sons of Aylesbury filtering through their wireless receivers. There are delicate guitar riffs, sudden drum explosions, whirring Leslie speaker cabs, and menacing lyrics familiar to all fans of Supper's Ready and Musical Box. I never thought it would be possible to recreate that unique sound, but Marillion have done so with skill and their own flavour. Deja vu for some, but a fresh new sound for Marillion fans, a hit. And I think this goes back to a long kind of love affair that Kerrang had with Marillion right up until probably the late 90s, early noughties, where Kerrang changed direction a lot. Because I know Chris at work, who does our artwork, who we love massively, he does a fantastic job for us. Yeah. He listens to Kerrang Radio a lot. And I think it's really, really strange because Kerrang Radio doesn't sound like how I would think Kerrang Radio is. It's so much skater rock and American, like, noughties things and stuff like that. So it's, am I being an old fart? But there's very, very little, like, what I would class as, like, classic rock or prog or anything on that radio station.
Yeah, but you've
it's
got
all skatery stuff.
Planet Rock probably caters for that sort of what you imagine it to be. They probably cater for that. So, I don't know. Might be. But, yeah, you're right. They did sort of champion them. Certainly through that period, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, especially right up to late. I mean, we'll go through some reviews, we'll dig out stuff moving forward. But interesting to see.
Yeah. Genius or Bollocks?
Oh, genius for both tracks.
Genius.
You're not even sitting on the fence anyway, are you?
Nah, not sitting on the fence at all.
I think we'll talk in the next chat in the single when we talk about Garden Party. I mean, China Single Live is a completely different beast.
Totally.
And it's great. I mean, it's great. It's the next part of the Marillion history. It's not as high as some of the heights they were about to hit, but it's on the way.
Oh, it's definitely on the way. And I think, it's you can see, you know, we can look at it retrospectively now and see the journey, but it was a build-up. It was a ramping up. Of each release and each new song was a ramping up as to where they were going to, but that was still further down the line where they were going to hit it.
Yeah.
And there's a precursor to the album coming out, considering that the album came in at number 7 without having, you know, a top 10 single or anything beforehand, which in the day, you know, the singles were a lot more important in the day than I think they have been.
Most definitely.
It was also the live shows, wasn't it? Everything was promoted through live, you know, through gigging it to death.
Well, I mean, they were more so then, they were an albums band.
Yeah.
So a single's not really representative of what they were doing, you know. The fans would go for the album, you know, singles, if it had something, I mean, that's the benefit of putting an unreleased B-side on the chart in the single, you'll pick up a few extra sales from the collectors.
Yeah.
And I think what you'll find as we go through these episodes, we're quite big fans of the B-sides from most of the periods of the band. And I don't think there's ever really been many times through the course of their career where the B-sides have been really bad tracks or just something that's just been thrown together. But there are a few.
Icon.
Icon, yeah.
How can it hurt? Anyway, that's for later in the story. That's not for now. Okay, so I think we've said everything we've got to say about He Knows You Know. So it's a fairly brief chat in the single, but it's the next part of the Marillion history. So I'd like to thank Stephanie.
You're welcome.
And Mike.
Nice to see you again, chaps, and Stephanie.
Faye.
Why, thank you, young sir.
You're going to forever be Faye.
After
it's good night for me.
It's good night from him. Take care.
And stay alive.
Thanks for listening to Planet Marzipan Podcast. Please like and subscribe from whichever platform you get your podcasts from. You can contact us at planetmarzipanpodcast@gmail.com and check out marillion.com, fishmusic.scot or fishmusic.eu for all the good stuff.